Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
All hell no, I'm looking at the real gangster shit. Cause when it comes to the real niggas, it makes the shit that much harder to deal with.
Yo, 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 what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
Bless. Yeah. Yeah, this is Cassidy the Hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
What's up with it, John? Man, don't change that down. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Then I took that down.
Yeah, this is Cassidy the Hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw. And you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio. And I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it ain't, what it do. It's Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday night. West West, y'all.
Raise my bitch and call her foreign. That bitch always that she came with a warning. That hair so good I stayed into the morning.
What's up with that pussy in the
morning? Yeah, in the morning.
That just that we keep that shit in motion.
Coming out of closet got it talking. If you bust it up, then I'ma fall in.
Cause I fell for it, nothing but Chanel for it. She can get the loaf, ain't none of my best still for it. And she bout her fitness, Tito, Sam, and Kel for her. If she want it, then she get it, ain't no sales for her. Tell her no, she gets a pouting, pussy like a fountain. If she want it, she gon' mount it, get it hard and mount it. I don't pound it, she get aggy, with no dick, she batty. Kiss her best friend in the club, cause she get drunk and faggy. She get at me, keep it low-key so she never at me. Secure with her place, she don't do nothing lame or tacky. VIP and everywhere, cause she so damn fine. All she waiting on is them vacations and them band lines.
I got raised my bitch and call her foreign. That bitch so wet that she came with a warning. That hair so good I stayed into the morning.
But so be that pussy in the
morning. Yeah, in the morning.
That just that we keep that shit in motion.
Coming out of closet got it soaking. If you bust it up then I'ma fallin'.
She clocking in and out, fuck what they talking about. I was annoying, hit her with the dick, she's talking now. She was patient, sat it out while they was all in doubt. $250,000, how she parking now? sexy texts, few emojis, now we talking vessels. Trading favors, fucked her twice and I was good for breakfast. Hit her once when it was lunch, but she was in a rush. Now FaceTime me your next break so I can watch you touch. I ain't such and such, I ball like you ain't never seen. Ain't no fashion over, I'm talking to Mary Jeans. Ain't no Uber, ain't no Lyft, I'm talking foreign whips. Go to Miami with your girls, I'm on some foreign trips.
Falling, falling. I got rich, my bitch in California. That bitch so wet that she came with a warning. That hair so good, I stayed into the morning. What's open that pussy in the morning?
Yeah, 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 what it is, what it do. This your man King Eric the Media Assassin. We are now tuning in episode 451 of Off the Cuff Radio, sponsored by Buddy Boy Entertainment, Screwball Radio, Fleetwood and the Cot Pickers, Core Financial, and Jesse's Boutique. I'm on live and direct with my host T-Max with the facts.
What it do, y'all. It's another Super Sunday. OTC up in the building, ready to set your week off so right and polite. Man, look, tonight's guest is an esteemed friend of ours, one of the realest to do it out in LV, the Sin City, keeping it hot in the desert with the dope rhymes, putting it down for all time, man. And he's back with us again, and we're so pleased to have him, man. Once again, shout out to Jeter K, Rich Forever, a.k.a. Big Boss, a.k.a. Rick Ross. We got Yowda back in the building with us, y'all. What it do, man?
What's good, my man?
Hey, how y'all doing over there?
What's going on
What's good?
How you been?
Man, I'm chilling, man. What's going on with y'all?
We good. We good. I mean, look. You've been doing some major things, man, you know, in terms of the last time we talked to you. It's been a second, man. So, I mean, I guess we're going to get right into it, Don. What you been up to? What's the move been? Because definitely you've extended on your acting credits now, so we got to start off with that, man.
Yeah, I've just been working, man, that's all. Working hard, trying to pay these bills.
Yeah, man. So tell us about Yeah, go ahead, King. Go ahead.
Yeah, I ain't even know about that, man. You get into acting. That's a good look right there.
Oh man, you told me you didn't know, man. You late, man. That's like the third film.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, because we knew about the Empire, we knew about you being on Empire and everything. But last time we talked to you, we didn't really get into it with you about the movies that you had done, you know, previously. I guess that's a great way to start off with it. So tell us about it in terms of, you know, how you initially started from the TV, from the small screen, going to the big screen to take you where you are right now in terms of what you're doing.
Well, as far as that, I think they just seen me and was like, you know, let's give them a shot or whatever. You know, a lot of my videos be real kind of animated at times, and then, you know. I think they just wanted me on there because of my music at first, but then, you know, you seem like you act a little bit, so they've been tapping back in with me.
Definitely. And what do people really have to understand about the discipline in reference to being, you know, an actor and also being an artist? Because you do both with equal acorn, and it takes tremendous talent to do, you know, to do both. What's the discipline that you have found in terms of being an MC and a thespian simultaneously?
Well, the MCing comes to me easy, man. That's like, you know, it's like second nature to breathing, you know. But as far as the acting goes, it's a lot harder than what I thought it was going to be. A lot of study and a lot of discipline, you know, because you got to read the whole script. You just can't read your part, so. But, you know, it's interesting. You know, I love a challenge, so.
Yeah, when you spoke on that, Yada, about how everybody has to know their role, because people have to understand, you know, when you're doing a movie, there are so many different elements to it in terms of how it works, you know, in reference to, like you said, knowing everybody's cues, because you have to know the lines, you have to have put a certain accent on it, you know, you have to have all the gestures, the stipulations, everything that goes into that. And it's definitely something people...
You got to basically morph yourself into that character.
Yeah, definitely. You got to, you know, you got to put yourself in the character and sit there and so, you know. And this last one, though, wasn't that hard. It was kind of, I wouldn't say it was natural, because dude was doing a lot of stuff that I definitely wouldn't do, but, you know, I'm a lot comfortable on the screen, so.
So do you feel that more of just being another extension of your personality as is, where you get another chance to express yourself in a way of really being able to, just take it to another level in turn? Go ahead.
Well, I wouldn't say expressing myself, because, I mean, I'm not acting like me in general. You know what I'm saying? I act like somebody else on everything I've done, so. You know, I'm a workaholic, man, so if somebody call with a check, I'm going to do what I got to do to get it, you know? My mama can't miss no Walmart trips, you know?
Yeah. So the movie's called Paper.
Especially with the way things have been. Yeah, I was going to say, especially with the way things have been for the past year, man. Like, you know, 2021, it's been a challenging year. We had its ups and downs, and they push you on your grind. Now, well, you have anything lined up musically that you coming with, like any future projects or anything lined up already put out?
Yeah, I drop every 3-4 months anyway. So, and then, you know, I've had a bunch of videos drop. So that's not going to change then. It's just, you know, adding a little something else to, you know, the work. One thing they ain't going to do is make me work too much, man. They're not going to outwork me. You know what I'm saying? I can guarantee that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's important, man. I mean, because one thing about it, when you're in the business, it's always about trying to show that, you know, it's that you're always active, that you're always animated, you're being creative, you have something that is, you know, it shows that you're not resting on your laurels in terms of being lazy. And in this industry, especially when you're looking at how fleeting, you know, people's interests can be, you always want to put something in there that is going to be cemented in everybody's consciousness of why, you know, you're that guy to watch. You know, and I mean, that's one thing in the time we've known you, and it's been a couple of years now, man, you have always been somebody who has, once you really decided this is what you wanted to do with music, I mean, we can't forget the story you told us in the first interview about how, you know, you kind of did it on a dare. We were like, shit, this was something you already had in you to begin with, you know, because you know, from your first, you know, rhyme, and it's like, this was just something that was already there, and you did it so effortlessly where people take years of practice to execute perfectly. You naturally just did it, and you just excelled in it ever since.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, man. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Y'all going to say that comes from being a student, because even when I was looking at some from you earlier that you was doing, like from the freestyle element, I remember one of the freestyles that you did on Sway, and was straight fire, and I think that's like a lost element within the culture today. So you keeping that essence of hip hop alive is a good look.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. If even on that situation, you know, I was just excited to be in New York on the radio. You know, coming from the West Coast, we don't get that opportunity too much. So.
That was a cool thing, but. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, please.
No, I was just referring back to that and keeping the element. But, you know, you got to make things, you know, your job becomes, you know, your reality in your life sometimes. So, you know, people got to keep that in mind. It looks good, but it is still a grind, you know.
Yeah, and people have to understand, man, like you said, that there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes in terms of what it takes in terms of, you know, having your pen, you know, when you're sitting down, you're having your creative sessions, you know, when you're having, you know, constant shows, you know, when you're just moving around, you know, when you're really doing all the elements of what it takes to maintain star status, you know, after you reach that plateau of celebrity. When you talk about it, Yada, about what you were saying about, you know, the West Coast doesn't always get that, you know, exposure. Do you think even now, today, in 2021, approaching 2022, do you still think that there's still an element that the West Coast still hasn't, I'm not going to say hasn't been respected, but hasn't totally been recognized for its diversity, for its richness, for its originality, for its hustle and business acumen? Not necessarily.
No, not even close, man. Just me in general, like, I don't know. I just think, you know, you just got to get out and network.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've never been on tour and people in New York are singing my songs before, so it's just like, you know, you just got to have something relatable, man. I don't think it's, right now, at this day and age, everybody likes what they can relate to, you know, so whatever you're talking, somebody has to relate to it.
It's that whole stereotyping still that still goes on. Like, everybody still has that territorial mindset.
Oh, yeah, that's not going to go away. I don't believe that's going to go away. But that's, you know, part of just being happy you are proud of where you're from, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I do get that. But I don't ever think that's going to go away. But, I mean, the way people are networking now, it's you know, they're bringing the vibes together, but, you know, everybody's going to be proud of where they're from. So.
Definitely. Now, when you went to New York, because I just heard the animation in your voice when you talked about you had a chance to go out there. Now, was that your first time going to New York in terms of, you know...
Are you talking about that Sway interview?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Nah, I had been out there. I had a couple of meetings with the labels and stuff like that. But shit, that was, you know, that was a long-ass time ago, man.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
That was years ago, yeah.
And what
nah, but that
like
wasn't my first time.
Gosh, what was it like when you got to be on that platform as an artist in terms of, like, really, like, once you were really featured? Because
I mean, it was a big thing in my career at that point in time because, you know, we had just, I think I was on my second mixtape at the time. And I think I had just, I don't know if that was before Ross. I don't know. I think we was in school at the time before I got signed. But, you know, it was definitely an interesting moment. I'm going to remember it forever because, you know, I remember I was on crutches at the time, too, and it was cold as hell.
Look, you in the desert, man, so y'all used to that heat out there. But one thing about it from your beginnings, man, you know, because you know a couple weeks back, you know, I had to put up on my Instagram, man, about just, blasting the album, man. You know, it's like to see where you came from and to really, really, really blossom, to develop, to expand the way that you have is a testament in perseverance because, you know, like you said, you didn't, you know, this was before you got, you know, somewhere between, you know, you getting signed, before you got signed. So you had already made an independent buzz prior to getting on Sway. And that's, Sway is hip-hop royalty in terms of that. So you did something major with that.
Yeah, you got to understand that when I started, you know, I was in the middle of, like, the CD era, and because when that was, like, 2016. So it was still CDs around 2016. And, you know, I had printed up and passed out over, like, altogether, I think it was, like, 40,000 CDs for free.
Wow, man.
Yeah, I printed up my own music. You know, dudes used to try to sell music to people, and I would just give it to everybody for free. And then you got to understand, I was driving, when I met Ross, I was in the Phantom, so, you know, people would see me pull up in a Rolls Royce and be like, hey, man, take the CD and listen to it. So, you know, that get anybody attention. the first thing they ask, is this you? And I'm like, yeah. Then the persona of what I was driving in and like the jury and stuff would already keep them, have them interested. So like, that's ultimately how I built that buzz up like that. So I was blessed in that aspect.
And that's
came out there with
think
the image and the music, man. I mean, the,
yeah.
the updated Phantom at the time, shit.
Yeah. You know, I was.
And
I used to be a lot. I used to be
think,
a lot more flashy, man.
Like you, nigga, not like you, like you not flashy now.
Well, I'm not as flashy as I used to be. You know, I be trying to tone it down, man.
Yeah,
now I just look
yeah.
like that when I'm working. I don't just look like that every single day, you know.
Right.
Yeah, you
got to
hit with
you
the
know,
conservative
we,
book.
Yeah. You know we you know you're a man, so we gotta mess with you a little bit. But seriously, one thing about people see about the game, and you exhibited that. If there is one thing about you, Yada, that we really really respect about you is your humility. For those that know your real story in terms of everything that's been going on, you've really been in the trenches and you really went through some things. But what we have always admired about you is you have always had an unwavering sense of humility and respect for others. This is your third time being back with us, and we thoroughly appreciate you being with us. And you've never been an individual that was unapproachable. You've always kept it 100, and that reflects through your music. And when you speak about presentation and the product, because you already had the accoutrements, you had the allure, you had the lifestyle, and most importantly, it all came from a real place that really made it all the more an element of excellence. Because, like you said, you was rolling in the Phantom. I mean, you're rolling the big boy joint. Big, you know, a lot of big boys, you know, who claim that they are, yours is yours. You know, a lot of these dudes be renting stuff, leasing it, and it was yours. You know, so obviously your independent hustle is something to be admired and respected, no matter where you're from.
Yeah.
What do artists have to understand about what it really means and the sacrifices, transitions from a previous profession to a one that is, you know, where you're trying to get to from where you were, the hard work, understanding how to manage everything and just keeping that work ethic together.
Well, I don't think people like investing in themselves. You know, everybody wants to look successful before they are. You know what I mean? I see a lot of guys who work and, like, you know, they'll get a song and then they'll spend the majority of their money on clothes and jewelry and stuff like that. You got to understand, when I first started, if you look at my first videos, I probably wore like a black t-shirt in every single one. No jewelry or nothing like that, because I wouldn't spend none of my money on clothes or jewelry. I was just spending studio time. You know, my buddies were sneaking money off of me and bought my first piece of jewelry. Like, that's how I ended up getting my first. You know, we had something going on and we shouldn't have had going on. All our money was chipped in, and they lied to me a few times about how much money came in, and then they went and bought me jewelry with that. Even the clothes thing, I would never buy any designer clothes. I just kept wearing the same thing over and over again. I was putting all my money into my music. So, and then I was, you know, at the time they were like, man, you gotta look like a rapper, you just can't be rapping. And I was like, man. But I don't think people nowadays got it backwards. People want to spend the money and look like they're successful and not put in the work. And that's the biggest problem.
Yeah, they'll blow their whole budget. They'll blow their whole budget.
Yeah, I didn't. Man, listen, man, I didn't see dudes spend $2,000-$3,000 on an outfit and then complain to the producer or the engineer about paying $50 an hour to get their shit mastered. You know what I'm saying? So it's totally backwards, you know?
You know, and it's wild, man, because what you said, Yada, what you said reflects, you know, what, you know, your partner in rhyme, you know, Ross spoke about in his book, you know, Hurricanes, where he talked about how he got on Because for those, yes, shameless plug for all of our listeners out there. If you have not bought Rick Ross's Hurricanes memoir, you need to go get it. Go pick it up. The book is worth the read because you will learn some stuff in there. You know, I mean, look. And yes, we're going to shout out the co-author with it too, Neil Martinez Belkin, because that's what we do on Off the Cuff, because we want everybody to be recognized. And also pick up The Perfect Way to Boss Up as well. Both of Ross's books are great reads. But I digress. Ross talked about in his book about how when he was getting on, once he got on with that, you know, once he got his deal with Def Jam, how he just hit the road. He wasn't spending any of his advance money. He just concentrated on getting that road money and just getting it out there, because when you go through those times of uncertainty, as we all have, and especially it's heightened for you being an artist, because literally this is what you're hedging all your money into. So you know the importance of a dollar. One thing about it is obviously from how you handle things out there, you knew the importance of maintaining, you know, financial stability and solvency, because you never knew when things might change up. So,
I was homeless before.
Oh wow!
You know, yeah, I've literally like I've ate out of a trash can before and ate food that has already been bitten off of before. You know what I mean? So
wow,
I think that's a huge, huge motivation too for my work ethic. I also know what I don't want to go back to. So
man. Yeah, you know, and
that implants the drive. You know what I'm saying? Because when you come from that type of situation, you go, you do whatever it takes. You go harder to not want to revisit that.
Man, definitely. Like, people don't understand. Like, even to this day, you know, I can, if something doesn't really taste good or something like that, you know, I'll still eat it. I don't waste any food. Like, if I don't eat something, then you know, I'll give it to a homeless person or something. I don't waste any food at all. If, like, if I order something, I have something I don't like, I'll still eat it. And people always ask me, why do I do that? But it's just like, you know, certain things like that, you know, stick in my mind. So that goes for, like, wasting money also, too. I'm very big on not wasting things. I feel like that comes with an appreciation.
Yeah. And that appreciation for the little things, y'all, I think that's something that a lot of artists don't understand today. I'm going to say it on air because I'm a green piece. I'm a green nut in terms of I'm an environmentalist, proud recycler, been doing it over 25 years. You know, so in terms of understanding the value of, you know, saving things and not just being callous in terms of disposal, I'm the same way when it comes to food. That's why when I eat, I know exactly what I like. You know, I get what I like, you know, and it's something that, I don't like wasting anything because you always look at it from that perspective of those that are less fortunate. And that sense of charity that you have is right on par with your humility, which makes you one of the true good guys that we have the pleasure of knowing. When you look at a lot of celebrity culture today in hip-hop, Yada, how do you feel about a lot of the attitudes and antics of some of the contemporaries in your profession?
I think, man, you want me to be honest, or you want me to give you the industry answers? So,
nigga, this is off the cuff, and you home, man. Go ahead and get.
I think it's a lot of idiots. It's a lot of idiots, man. Right now, the way the world is, you know, sometimes the antics are more important than the music, and that's bad. You know what I mean? Sometimes, like, you know, people do the dumb stuff, and, like, you know, it's a lot of idiots out there. I ain't gonna front. People do shit that they ain't got no business doing just to get a look or just to get attention. And
right,
that's one thing I've never done. You know what I mean? And trust me, they've asked. You know, I've had a lot of people, you know, say certain stuff about it, but I'm not. You know, last thing I am in this world is a clown. You know, so I don't I don't put no paint on my face, so I'm not gonna act like it, you know. But yeah, I think
you know,
we
that also goes in line with depending on where you when you path your career, because when you with the majors, it's like, yeah, you got to deal with those type of questions. Like they'll probably put that pressure on you, like, oh, you gotta act like this man or sound like this person. It's gonna get you out there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But, you know, they offered, you know, I was offered to be on Love & Hip Hop twice, and I turned it down.
Mm.
Yeah, I didn't want to do that. You know, them dudes on
yeah.
there, I don't think, you know, that's like real TV, and, you know, I got a son, so I don't want my son to see me on TV making, you know, doing stuff I wouldn't do in real life, you know what I mean? So that took a big, that was a kind of a big decision. But they offered me, they offered me Love & Hip Hop in L.A., and the person they wanted me to portray was kind of interesting, you know? Like, they wanted me to be the single guy on the show and, you know, just dating a whole bunch of, show me dating a whole bunch of women and you know, living that kind of single bachelor lifestyle. And, you know, of course, they were going to involve, you know, famous chicks, and I probably would have gotten through a relationship with one and all that, but I didn't want to do that.
That shows integrity as well, especially, you know, you being a father figure for your son. I'm going to go out there and say it on this, on Off the Cuff. I've never been a fan of reality shows because I think for a lot of it with black people, it shows us in a light that while at some levels, because we can't dismiss reality, because there is dysfunction in the black community, but dysfunction is not who we are as a people. There's more to us than that. We're scientists. We are doctors. We are lawyers. We are innovators. We're inventors. We're creators. You know, we're somebody's son. We're somebody's cousin. We're somebody's uncle. We're somebody's brother. We are people that are very diverse in our range, in our life experience, and to have that you know, basically compressed into a monolithic and dangerously stereotypical lens, I think, is it's very much it's not a true representation of who we are. You know, I think it does a disservice at times.
See, to build off that, the problem is that they found ways to profit off dysfunction.
Yeah.
Boom, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's I find out, I mean, you know, and I don't know, I think that's horrible. For real. It's just like, I don't know, people find so much entertainment in that, and it's like, sometimes we'll be like, man, where's your mind at to think that's cool to watch, you know? Like I said, I don't watch TV too much at all, so. How do you even need to go on my son's Instagram at times to watch what he's laughing at, what he thinks is funny, and explain to him that that's not real life? And let them do it, you know?
And one thing about it, man, is you being the dad that you are, you obviously lived through some things in your life that obviously you've had your son, you giving your son that talk about in terms of not only the principles of manhood, but being a black man in America and what that entails. Of course, you know, another one of your brothers in rhyme, TZ from the Claire, you know, you two really, really, really set an example of powerful, you know, and stalwart father figures for not only your children individually, but an example of what everybody else can follow in terms of what it really takes. Because, and I think that's why with us especially, your music resonates so much, because even from the streets, you know, to the sincerest of your penmanship, man, it's like, you know, you have a heart in terms of understanding a pulse on what is going on out there. You're not just somebody who's doing this to just drop some songs for notoriety. What you're penning has a purpose.
Yeah.
They gotta have merit at the end of the day. It's like you gotta leave something for the masses to build off of, whether it be music or whatever it be, integrity. That's why even sometimes with us, we gotta be mindful of what we post up there, because we learned that with the internet, nothing comes down ever.
That's true. Yeah, once it's up there, it's stuck. So I do gotta watch that. Even on interviews and stuff, I gotta watch for certain things I say. I know my son be, you know, at his age, you know, he's all ears and all eyes, you know.
Right.
Unless you got a powerful label here that can erase all that shit.
Man,
it won't stay.
Yeah, the internet is everything, man. Right now, like, it's crazy. Somebody had sent me an old fight I had gotten to, maybe like just even before I started rapping, Hollywood Boulevard, now in L.A. And I was just like, dude. I mean, it wasn't no biggie, you know. I came out victorious. It was still a good look, but I just didn't know. It was no biggie, so. I mean, you know, I was looking sharp on there. You know, I wasn't mad that it was still up there. I was just like, dang, how you find that? You know.
Was it
through
one of them old flip phones? Like, you know how the footage be all grainy?
Nah, it wasn't that old. It was it was Hollywood Boulevard. We were out shopping one day, and a dude was out there, actually disrespecting one of the cars that we had out there. So he didn't know whose car it was. So, you know, when I walked up, you know, when I approached him, whatever, you know, he kind of. But he probably thought it was some old white man's vehicle or something. So,
and then
when I approached him, he kind of, you know, he got a lot of people was out there. He got kind of mousy, so I just wanted to teach him a little respect. That was all.
You're so modest.
He had to give him the
somebody.
Michael, the Mike Dog, the Kimbo Slice, right?
Yeah, just a little. You know, it wasn't. It wasn't nothing major. I just, you know.
Just gave him a little touch up. Just gave him a little touch up, like.
Yeah.
You know
we had a little disagreement. I mean, he understood where I was coming from at the end of the day, so that's all that mattered.
Yeah.
You know what they call it out here? They call it a little brush up. You know what I'm saying? Get a little brush fade.
Yeah, a little brush up. Like, hey, man, you remember you're not supposed to act like that, right? And it's like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Then y'all have
a
conversation with somebody, like, after you brush him up a little bit, y'all talking, he bleeding a little bit, like, here, get that man a handkerchief or something, man. Let him wipe his blood.
Yeah.
They got to come back to that, man, because, you know, it got to come back to that, because people are so eager to go to the gun these days.
Oh, man. Yeah. You know, a lot of people, man, you got to understand, man, this is the age of pride and ego, you know?
So,
But on, and then, you know, a lot of people are soft, man. Like, people be real scared of an ass whooping, so that's why that ended up happening.
That's the point about pride and ego.
A lot of stuff can be avoided. Yeah, pride and ego, definitely. You know, motherfuckers don't want to catch a lump or two. You know, so ain't nothing wrong with a few lumps here and there, man.
Well, I mean, but you know, one thing about, but what you said is real, because we all understand the streets from a certain level. You know, from a elevated level, so you know how fast things can go wrong out there, and how life can change from existing to non-existing in a split second. So,
oh, definitely.
You know, and
definitely.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm about to say, yeah, you got to be you know, there's been lots of situations where, you know, I could have made a lot worse, you know. Like, somebody, I've had a couple dudes, like, diss me on records and stuff like that. You know, I never responded or anything. You know, my homeboys is kind of like, Huh?
I said, I mean, who? It's like, dude, you don't, we know you for some time, so you don't bother anybody.
Nah, it was just, you know, they really didn't. Anytime I've had a problem with somebody, I never knew who they were. You know what I'm saying? I've never had a problem with somebody that
okay, one of those things, just the hate factor.
The two incidents I had, both of I had never, ever had a conversation with ever in my life. They could have walked by me, and I would have never knew who they were, you know, that type of stuff. But then, you know, my friends, you know, I got some real serious friends around me. So, you know, they take that kind of stuff personal. And, you know,
right.
I'm always the one to be like, nah, we're not doing that. You know, unless it's an immediate, unless we're in immediate danger or something like that, we're not finna go, you know. But then, you know, because every time I see somebody that ever talk shit about me, they all hugs and Hallmark cards when I bump into them, you know. So,
you know what's stealing that from you, too, the hugs and Hallmark cards. You know what's stealing that line.
Yeah,
right?
that's what they be. They be people be real gangster, man. And when you see them, they all hugs and Hallmark cards. I didn't mean it like that.
And
you
another
know,
thing,
the really,
first thing too is that they'll be in your damn, they start doing the trolling stuff. They'll be in your on your comment page and all that. That's the worst. They'll be changing their profiles.
Yeah, definitely. You know, but I mean, you know, but I like to let them see what's going on, man. I mean, I'm here for motivation and for the hate, just to give you a real reason to hate. You say you don't like me, well, look at my page, and, you know, and hate yourself too, you know. So.
But that's real, because when you think about it, man, the one thing about it, whether you know you're an artist, whether you're a podcaster like we are, or just somebody living a regular life, you're always going to have those people, because we all know this. Jealousy is a weak emotion, because jealousy is about simply a self-esteem problem that somebody has because they look at you as being better than them or having something that they don't. And that's where the jealousy comes in, because they want to be you. They want what you have, but don't understand the struggles of what you had to go through to get what you have. Or simply that you're your own incredible individual that got it because of who you are. Hate is more dangerous, because hate is the resentment of who you are in general and what you stand for. And I tell people, hate is a lethal emotion. And that's the hate that, and we've seen what hate can do, whether racial hate, societal hate, or just a personal hate towards somebody else. And that's why you always have to be on guard for those who you know are real. Because some people, like King said, they're just going to troll you to just mess with you. And then you're going to have individuals who literally are going to try to fuck up your whole program. And even at the peril of destroying themselves to destroy you. As I said, Yalda, we know you to be a good guy. You know, that's why we're shocked that, like, anybody would even – I mean, when you're dealing with these type of things, do you think this is just an extension of – was this just an extension of stuff that had gone on previously on the block? Or was this just something once you decided to do music, they were like, okay, we're going to fuck with this nigga now that he's doing music just because?
Man, it just comes with success. Like, you can't please everybody, you know? And
right. Sometimes
when people, you know, the hardest thing for people to do is see where you came from and then see where you're at. And, you know, there's a point in their life where they're wondering why they couldn't do it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So when people see you succeed, they're like, well, why can't I do that? Or why, you know? I mean, everybody that I feel like, you know, I feel like dudes would jump out of a moving car to be in the situation I'm in right now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, call the driver. 60 miles per hour, nigga, jump out that motherfucker just to, you know, to be where I'm at. So they don't understand it. So people usually hate what they don't understand. And like I said, if don't nobody hate you, man, you're not successful. Somebody got to have a problem with what you're doing. You know, if you walk down the street, you never hear nobody bad mouthing a bum. They just ignore them.
Right.
You know? you see a homeless guy on the street, he asks you for some money, you're like, I ain't got it. You walk away, and you never think about him ever again.
Right.
You know? So when you're at the bottom, that's what kind of, you don't get no attention. When you, you know, doing your thing, of course, they don't pay attention. So.
Well, that comes with the game, man, because look at it like this. They hated Jesus. You know we going to catch the wreck. Mm-hmm. Either way, double.
Yeah, for sure, man, you know. And that was one of his close homies, so you know how that go. Like I said, it just comes with success. Like, if I didn't have nobody hating me, I'd really want to work a little harder.
Well, you definitely excelled in the game, man. But you've also developed, because especially for a lot of individuals, you would have a lot of individuals. We're just going to keep it brick, man. A lot of people would act a fool in the wrong way for the things you've been through in your life and the success that you've come into, and all of it you've earned in terms of what you have managed to put together. And your story is authentic. And most people, a lot of these rappers out here, straight up, they've never lived that life that you live, let alone survive it to get to where you are at. So, like I said earlier, your music comes from a very real place. And then you've not only taken this from a music level, but you've extended it into acting as well. Because we want to talk about that a little bit too. The movie Paper Heart, tell us about that, and it's directed by Dennis Reedy. Tell us a little bit about that in terms of how that came about, how you and him connected, the plot of it, and where can we find it?
Amazon Prime, Tubi. It's not out yet. I don't think it drops until Christmas Day.
Okay.
You know, but the other ones is out there. And like I said, I think I got the attention just from my music. You know, the first role I had, well, first speaking role I had, should I say, because, you know, at first they was just hiring me to sit stand there and look mean. Without, you know, I think I'm a pretty fly guy. I didn't want to stand there and look mean. You know what I mean? But that's... I guess that's what everybody else is impression. You feel me? So, the first speaking role I had was like real. It was short. I don't even think it was like 30 seconds. Like if I told somebody about the movie, you had to watch a whole hour and 30 minutes to get to my 30 seconds. And I was like, "How I do, y'all?" He was like, "Nigga, you only said 3 words." So after that, you know, he brought me back for another one, and on that one, I had quite a bit of speaking, and they loved it.
Mm.
You know, they really loved it. I had to really, like, there was another actor there, and he just gave me some real advice, because he was talking about it. And actually, he wasn't even talking to me. He was talking to somebody else. And when I heard him say what he said about just, you know, relaxing and trying to just become the character or whatever, it was like, damn. So I did it, and, you know, everybody loved it, so they brought me back, and then I got that major role I just had.
Yeah.
So it was cool.
You know,
so,
and that's dope, man. I mean, ultimately, in terms of, you know, what other genres of movies would you like to do in addition to drama? Do you see yourself doing comedy at a certain level, like Ice Cube did in Friday, or, I mean, a war drama, like comedy, Sensation Pride Lion?
Listen, it depends on how many. Listen, I'm doing everything but jeopardizing my manhood, man. You know?
Understood.
So, yeah, so anything that'll pay the bills that I ain't got, you know, not compromising myself as a man, then I'm with it. I ain't going to sell my soul at all, but, you know, I'm down for, you know, the drama, the comedies, horror film, you know, whatever. I put on a mask and played Michael Myers one time, you know.
Look, because low key, man, you got a great sense of humor.
Okay,
low key.
You know what, man? We know what we gotta do. We gonna put out there, man. We gotta put you in the hopefully the next Halloween, man. Make you be the one to kill Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Mike better not run up on me. I ain't playing none of that, man. You feel me? I ain't playing none of that, man.
We gotta give the black man, we gotta give the black man some glory in these horror movies for a change.
Yeah, man, Mike better not run up on me with the old stiff ass. You know, he's stiff as a motherfucker, man. I'd have been beat the shit out of Mike. He got me fucked up. Old ass nigga. I definitely ain't letting that old ass nigga get with me. I definitely ain't running from him either. And then don't let me, and then on the movie, don't let me be with a female or I'm showing off. She gonna ask me, was I a UFC fighter when I'm done with him? You know how that go, man. You know, you got a female around you, you really got to show your ass. You can't just regular fight. You got to fight.
Well,
like,
you can't get your ass whooped in front of her.
What? Hell no. Because you can't never yell at her ever again. First time you yell at her, it was like, you didn't yell at her. What you call it like that? We beat your ass, you know?
That old, you know how the sisters talk to you. They be like, that old nigga with the mask, he beat your ass.
Man, yeah.
Ooh. Real talk, man. You gotta stand your ground when it comes to the sisters, though, because yeah, you let that old motherfucker from the mask, he beat your ass. You can't talk shit no more. Your son ain't respect. They go for the juggler.
Look, and then you know how everything go viral now too. Don't get beat up and then it's on camera on YouTube. I come home and be like, son, you need to take out the trash. He'd be like, nah. You just got beat up, Dad. I seen you fight. You feel me?
Look. Y'all are like, these sessions in the gym ain't for nothing, nigga. Run up if you want. Ain't gonna be no sequel.
Yeah. Listen, man, I tell everybody, these ain't show muscles, these go muscles, you know?
He's like, throw a nigga the window pane, give him pain, throw a nigga the garbage can, taking out the trash. Look, throw a nigga off the cliff. If he want to riff, you know, look, there's 100, like, look, these arms and hands work fine if you look, anytime. Oh, man.
Get down to lay down. That's the way it got to go.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, I wouldn't mind being in a horror movie, being a superhero or something.
How do you feel about
video director, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I told my video director I wanted to do a movie where I was like Hancock or something, you know?
Oh, okay. He wants to be the superhero. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Yada man or something, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a dope concept. And then you got that Rosé and the production crew handle the soundtrack. We got to bring that superhero energy back. We ain't had a black superhero. I mean, we had Black Panther. We had Media Man. We need somebody else.
We need the bowl.
Yeah, we have to play too.
Yeah, I'm down to play one of them roles, you know?
How do you feel about the representation of black actors and actresses in Hollywood today in terms of roles and how the African-American experience is portrayed in cinema?
I think it's pretty good right now. I don't know, man. It's came a long way, you know? So, I don't really, you know, I don't get into the Oscars and all that type of stuff and who wins and so, you know what I mean? But, you know, Denzel been doing this thing for a long time, man.
Yeah.
You know, somebody better tell them to watch out, too. You know?
Yeah.
I'm coming for that next role.
Look, casting directors, producers, you heard it here on Off the Cuff. Yowda, if it's the right role, if it's a respectful role, he's up for taking. Look, he's catching any and all stage in terms of getting on that camera. Look, let that man be great on camera. Yes, let him do his thing. We're all for it.
And tell him this, too. Yeah. Tell him we got to give him that Chappelle treatment, too. Look, they ain't going to be bringing no dresses on the damn door.
Exactly.
Oh, no, he'll do that. Yeah, like I said, I ain't talking about
exactly.
Even the mother niggas.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I flip burgers first.
Yeah, and I think that's something where, you know, what King said really resonates, because when we look at entertainment industry today, and we look at a lot of these artists in terms of fashion, even a couple that want to wear makeup, who shall remain nameless.
Thanks.
Yeah. From what you have seen, and obviously this doesn't include you, because obviously you never have and never will do that, what is the pressure on for a lot of these young artists? What do they feel from what you've seen, maybe even some you have talked to, about what it takes to make it in this industry of entertainment and music? And I guess you could say entertainment because it's all the same. It's under one umbrella. How much pressure do a lot of these young artists feel coming in, or aspiring actors, whomever, to try to get in that circle to where, you know, they're in that exclusive company?
I mean, you got to a lot of people feel like money is more important than who they are, and then a lot of people don't know who they are. So when the money comes, you know, they're still trying to figure themselves out, and they get taken advantage of. You know, so. Like I said, there's a lot of pressure with that, but you just got to know who you are and stand on it. And a lot of people aren't able to do that.
Yeah,
have a solid team behind you too, because if your team is solid, you're gonna stand.
Super. That is absolutely correct.
Yeah, because a lot of times, you know, and that's what King said, is that's church right there, because having a solid circle around you is what's going to keep you from crumbling. You know, if you have a strong foundation of people who are really for you, they're going to let you know when something isn't correct, because it's something about when people start getting that notoriety, once they start making moves, you're going to have two elements, and sometimes they fall into the same. You have those people that want to be you and get jealous because they didn't get, because they see the success you have, or they feel like because they know you that they are entitled to that. And either way, it is a potential recipe for this. It's the recipe for potential disaster. One of the realest things I read Ross say was, you know, he set a number, 30,000. And him and you probably had this talk as well when he was talking to you just about life and what was going on. But this quote was so real. He said $30,000. He's like, that's when you really have, he's like, what do people stand to gain? And I'm paraphrasing, what do they stand to gain from when they are around you? Because, and he said 30,000 because that's for some people a boat and a truck, and that's all they want. And they will whack you to get it if they know they can benefit from it. I read that. That sent chills up my spine. He's like, when you have that many people close to you in a circle where they could benefit off of your demise, you need to have a real conversation with them about where they're at in terms of, are they good people for you to have around?
Yeah.
You know?
That's deep. And yeah. Actually, that's a high number. Because I feel like it's lower than that.
Who you telling? You know, we see especially situations happen out here. Yeah.
Especially with how lowered the bar has settled, not only in entertainment, but in terms of integrity. I say lower is way lower.
Yeah, super. Way, way lower.
It used to be, you know, they need to change it too, because, you know, we familiar with 5%ers. Way it's looking now, we might be called 3%ers now. That number is chipping down every year. So we might have to call the 3% Nate.
That's real talk.
Yeah. And from that, when we look at how you have to move around and be careful, you know, and I don't want to put it on a downer for the moment, because we know that you were good friends with him. we know that he was a contributor with you in terms of stuff y'all did collaborated with you. Late great Slim 400. What do artists have to understand in terms of just being careful out there in terms of, and just understanding that even and when you are doing great, that there are going to be people that are not going to want to see you do great and will do things to stop your greatness.
Man, you just can't get relaxed ever. You just can't be relaxed. You gotta be real careful.
Understood. So pretty much in terms of what you got coming down the line, because you said you always drop, every 3-4 months in terms of what are some other collaborations you have coming, or are you going to keep that under wraps?
You'll hear about them when the albums drop. I got a bunch of stuff coming up this year. I'm dropping a tape called Sidoti Story in January.
Okay. And what was the process behind that? How'd you come up with it?
Meaning the album or just the name?
Well, no, the whole process, the name of the album. How'd you know? What was your creative process?
I mean, the music just came from grinding. You just record, and you end up picking out what you're gonna put on the album. But Sidoti is my lawyer, so he just did something for me, man. So I told him I named the album after him.
That's dope, man. That's dope. That's a way to get your legal team recognized in terms of, he's y'all the stamp, the man is official. Wow. Y'all need a good lawyer, call him. That's dope. Matter of fact, tell your lawyer we want him on the show too, so we can talk to him about what goes on in the law side of litigation and everything, man. We'd love to interview your lawyer, man.
I got you.
Especially because you need a code, but to get far in this business, you need a cold attorney. Somebody that ain't afraid to ruffle some feathers, so to speak, next to a cold manager.
Look, we can name a few of the great ones in the game. Johnny Cochran, F. Murray Richmond.
OJ's whole team.
Alan Dershowitz.
Yeah, for real.
Barry Sheck. Yeah, all of them, man. I mean, you gotta have a strong legal team behind you. Obviously, you've had a very successful career doing what you've done. How important is it for artists to get a good legal behind them in terms of?
I mean, your team is everything in general. Just your friends, your business, your manager. Like you said, everybody that you work with is very important. Everybody has to share the same common goal. Everybody has to move to one beat. Everybody has to understand their job and actually like their job to do their job and not want your job. So.
That's dope. That's real. That's wisdom right there. They gotta like your job. If they don't like their job, they're going to take your job. I mean, that's from a legal representation perspective, y'all. What should artists look for with a lawyer and with the proper counsel?
I just happen to have a bond with mine, and we fuck with each other though. So I got lucky on that. Other than that, my opinion is, you can't be cheap. Two people, you can't be cheap with lawyers and doctors,
You know what? You done dropped a lot of gems so far in this interview, man. Okay, nigga, we need a book.
It ain't only a book. For this interview, we might have to put them on the Patreon. $29.99 for the second hour.
When are we getting the book, man?
The game is to be sold, not told.
Speaking of that, man. My engineer is tapping his watch, man.
Okay.
I'm in the lab right now.
But we need that book. We got Rose's book. We need your book because you come under a great pedigree of excellence at Maybach. You know, of course, with Jeter K, you know, Trop, you know, Fat Boy, you know, Don Logan, Slab, I mean, all of y'all, man. You know, who else am I missing? Because you got to shout out everybody, man. You know,
But it's good, it's dope to see that you guys are still out there because, man, aside from y'all and I don't even know if Young Money's still around. I mean, y'all are probably the only show in town.
Yeah. I mean, everybody fuck with each other real tough, though. It's more than...
Yeah, man. But, of course, we got to shout out Ren. You know, we got it. Man, I mean, look, we got to shout out Ren 1400 first. We got to shout out Underwine. You know, everybody in the crew, man. I mean, y'all have always been solid, you know. I met Jeter, you know, face-to-face a month ago. It was dope, man. Got to meet Slab as well. Real good guys. And you all not only represent a movement of music, but you also represent a real camaraderie of brotherhood and business excellence and acumen of perseverance and professionalism that is not duplicated. A lot of people talk about what they have, but you all are really about it, you know. But you all really are examples to follow in terms of how y'all do business.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how we rock, so it's a family.
Definitely.
You know, we fight like brothers, and we'll fight you like we brothers too. You know, that's how we.
That's a one. If anybody want to run up on the almighty MMG, two words, well, three words, don't do it.
Rethink your life.
Yeah.
All right, well, shit, like I said, my engineer keep tapping his watch, man.
Okay.
I gotta get back in here and finish this up, man. I appreciate y'all having me, bro.
Dude, you're welcome back anytime. We appreciate you, man. Yada, you know we're going to be in touch with you off air, just checking on you, making sure you're good. You stay safe out there. Anything you need from us, anything, any of the people from MMG, Jeter, you know, Trop, anybody, Slab, you know, Ross. Yeah, you know we here. So just hit us if anybody needs anything.
Yeah, it's all good, man. Make sure everybody follow me on Instagram, man. Like I said, if you need a reason to hate or just some real motivation, I got both of them on there for you.
There you go. Already.
It is. All right. So on that note, another excellent chapter of Off the Cuff Radio on a Super Sunday. We out. And peace.
Appreciate y'all, man.
Appreciate you too, man. Thank you again.